Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're looking at a Sunday school book written by E.A. Edom for the Sunday schools of 1926, and we're looking at the introduction to these Sunday school lessons. We'll be studying them in this radio program, but this introduction gives us the attitude of the man that wrote these Sunday school lessons and the attitude that we ought to have toward the Word of God. And we talked about how there's blessings in studying the Bible and making it our everyday book. And we closed our last program by looking at some examples of those who studied the Bible, like King Josiah, and what we read about Ezra and Nehemiah. And now we're going to look at how Christ emphasized the importance of reading and studying God's Word. You may want to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. And while you're doing that, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look and learn what we can about the importance of God's Word from what we read about Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. It says, He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and He entered, as His custom was, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And He opened the book, and found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath appointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed the book, and gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fastened on Him, and He began to say to them, Today hath this scripture been fulfilled in your ears. The Apostle Paul wrote much of the New Testament, and a lot of what we have from Paul is found in the letters that he wrote. And he knew he was writing Scripture. And when he would write to a church or to a person, the letter wasn't just for that church or person, but it was ultimately for all the church, unto all people. Notice what he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 27. Now this may have been the very first letter that Paul wrote. He wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:27. I adjure ye by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Paul would later write to the church at Colossae, and in the epistle to the Colossians, he said in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16, And when this epistle hath been read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye also read the epistle from Laodicea. There is in the book of Acts an example of a man that was studying the scriptures and wanted to know the meaning of what it was he was reading. We read in Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, An angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down to Jerusalem unto Gaza, the same as desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was over all her treasures, who had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit spake unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except someone guide me? And he besought Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scriptures which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. His generation who shall declare? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, Behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. We see by that when we come to a proper understanding of what the Bible teaches, we'll want to do what the Bible says. This Ethiopian, upon learning what he was needed to do, wanted to be baptized, and following his baptism, he went on his way rejoicing. That's the blessing that Bible study can give to us. It can give us a life of rejoicing. The following is the condition of heart necessary to receive the word. One is the love of truth, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. Of being honest with oneself and the truth and God, Luke 8 in verse 15. Of contrition and trembling at the word of God, Isaiah 66, 2 through 5. A willingness and a determination to do God's will, John 7, verse 17. And the following are consequences of hating the word of God. Proverbs 13:13 says, Whoso despiseth the word bringeth destruction on himself, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. In Numbers 15:31 we read, Because he hath despised the word of Jehovah, and hath broken his commandments, his soul shall be utterly cut off, and his iniquity shall be upon him. 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 16 says, They mocked the messengers of God, and despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of Jehovah arose against his people, till there was no remedy. In Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, we read, The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hinder the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for God has manifested it unto them. For the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse, because that, knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed beast and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to the lust of their hearts and to uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves, for that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile passions, for their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was due. And even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who, knowing the ordinance of God, that they which practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them. We can see from these passages many things connected with the study of the Bible cannot be too often repeated or too much emphasized. For instance, no one has taught the Bible who has not taught the supreme duty and practice it as it relates to all conditions and circumstances of life regarding both men and God. In this respect, it is different and superior to all other books of the world. One may study law or learn astronomy, whether or not one practices law or uses astronomy, but not so with the Bible. It must be obeyed. The one great end to be accomplished by both studying and teaching it is obedience to it. No one is fit to teach it who loses sight of this end. Studying and teaching the Bible, then, is far more than studying and teaching literature, history, biographies, philosophy, or any other subject. There is such a thing as holding a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, of ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This should not be the case, but it will be, unless great care and much earnestness are manifesting in practicing what is learned. One cannot study the Bible too much. Well, one can practice it by far too little. Meeting in groups, men and women, through the week and on Sundays, in order to study the Bible, is perfectly right if done always according to God's will, but always studying or teaching it and not practicing it is hypocrisy. Teachers are supposed to know more and practice the Bible better than the pupils. Hence, to take the lead in preparing, knowing, and practicing the lesson, hence the lessons are fuller for the teachers. I have found in my own experience that being a Bible teacher makes me study the Bible more. And the more I have taught it, the more I have learned it, the more I have appreciated the things that it says. Did you know the longest psalm in the Bible is about the Bible? It's Psalm 119. And while we have time left in this program, I want to read to you some of these things. I'm going to emphasize the words that talk about the Bible. Blessed are the perfect in the way, who walk in the law of Jehovah. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with a whole heart. Yea, they do no unrighteousness, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us thy precepts, that we should observe them diligently. Oh, that my ways were established to observe thy statutes. Then shall I not be put to shame. When I have respect unto all thy commandments, I will give thanks unto thee with uprightness of heart. When I learn thy righteous judgments, I will observe thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. We read in verse 17, deal bountifully with my servant that I may live, so will I observe thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law.